in Luke chapter 7 and the first 10 verses, and then in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, it would be useful to turn to those. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was ill and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor." I want this morning with you to shine the light of Scripture on a theme which I reckon, without any likelihood of contradiction, is one of the most worrying issues of our times. Any guesses? I suppose there's so much to choose from. Well, I'll give the game away if I mention the title of a book written a few years ago by John Ware. The book is called The Death of Respect. But in case anyone thinks, well, that was then, we're talking about 10, 12 years ago, a national newspaper, I have noticed, has just published the results of a large poll which confirms John Ware's worrying argument. This poll has found that 70% of people living in the UK think society has become less respectful. Wow, 70%. Across many boundaries, social, tribal, racial, political, in the way people treat each other on social media, on the road, in the shop and supermarket, at the football match, on public transport, in work relationships, etc., etc. Noticed by considerable majority of our fellow citizens, the British are less respectful than ever. There's more anger, resentment, prejudice, rudeness, selfishness in the culture that we live in. 70% of us say so. Well, what does the Bible say to us? Peter, for example, puts it starkly, clearly, powerfully. Chapter 2 here in verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. It was clearly an issue in the first century world, as it is today, lack of respect across social, racial, tribal, gender boundaries then as now. But here's the challenge. We Christians, Peter teaches us, by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, are called to live, he says here, holy lives. As foreigners and aliens, abstain from sinful desires, live good lives among the pagans. We are to march to the beat of a different drum if we are Christian people. So I want to explore this thing with you in two ways that seem to me hugely relevant and rise out of Scripture. First of all, respect and people's value. And then the tricky issue of respect and tolerance. Big theme in our culture. But firstly, respect and people's value. I doubt there is much debate to be had about the connection between respect and the value that we give to something or someone. When you respect what you respect, you value. And what you value, you respect. But the opposite is true, isn't it? What or whom you don't respect, you don't value highly, and that's reflected in the way you treat them. Well, here is Peter raising the bar to a pretty high level. Show proper respect to everyone. And look, the context of that summons includes all manner of possible lack of respect and the valuing of people. If you read on in chapter 2 and 3, he teaches here about social distinctions and family relationships, doesn't he? And citizenship responsibilities and so on. In these areas of life and in much else, lack of respect is tied in with a diminishing of people's value. Well, on the bigger canvas, in the brutal warfare in the Ukraine and between Israel and the Palestinians, or think of the way in Myanmar, Burma, the Rohingya minority are treated by the Myanmar government, and so on and so on. On the big canvas, there is a massive lack of respect in the way people are treated by one group of people to another. But at the more personal end of the spectrum, that one bit of gossip on social media, the heartbreaking way young people can treat each other online, the way we treat each other when we drive, and put your hand up if you're not guilty, or staff in shops, etc., etc. But here is Peter clearly making the point that the Christian is to be different, show proper respect to everyone. Chapter 1 and verse 15, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, in all the relationships, in all the interaction with people. It's hugely practical, this business of being a Christian, and ethical. Let me illustrate this by looking at this very striking story in Luke chapter 7 that I read. Dr. Luke records an encounter which Jesus had with a Roman centurion whose slave was dying. The centurion sends some leaders of the community in Capernaum, where all this happens, to beg Jesus to come and heal his slave. But this centurion was very unusual. If you think about it, I wonder what words spring to mind when you hear the term Roman centurion. Well, I don't know, maybe words like macho, brutal, bully, tough, heartless, intimidating, cruel. But here's this guy who commands 100 soldiers in the formidable occupying army. Departing from that stereotype, he crosses some boundaries that divided people in Jesus' day and which still exist, boundaries where lack of respect thrives. But he demonstrated respect, this pagan Roman centurion. For example, in Luke 7:2, he crosses the social boundary. He valued his slave highly. This guy behaves with respect towards the person who is totally beneath him in the social hierarchy. He actually cares about his slave. Unheard of. In Roman times, a slave, as many of you will know, was an object, a possession. You could get rid of the slave if he or she didn't serve you well or was no longer useful, near the point of death maybe, like this centurion slave. Well, let the slave die. He's of no further value, get rid of him. In fact, a Roman writer recommends farmers each year to examine their tools and implements, sensible idea, and throw out those that are old and useless. But then the writer adds this poignant statement, and do the same with your slaves. Wow. If they're as useless as an old tool, chuck them out, throw them away, get rid of them. They're of no worth or value. But no, this centurion reached out across the social boundary and valued his slave highly and showed him respect. Now, you may be a cynic and think he was only concerned for the slave because he was a good worker and still useful and didn't want to lose him. Well, I prefer to give him the benefit of the doubt because I think Jesus does. This centurion crosses the social boundary which Peter addresses in our passage and genuinely cared for his servant. But then Luke tells us also that he crosses the racial boundary. This Roman army officer cared generously about the welfare of the Jewish people. Absolutely unheard of. Astonishing. The Roman army had conquered the Jewish land and subjected the people to a dreadfully humiliating occupation. But look, when the centurion sends these Jewish leaders to Jesus, they testify to his respect, his astonishing, generous care and concern. Verse 5, he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Now look, this Roman centurion challenges us in our day about crossing boundaries and respecting and valuing people who are the other, who are the others in your world, in your life, in your relationships. Well, whoever the other is, we are to cross those boundaries and show respect, Peter tells us, to everyone. He, this Roman centurion, practices what Peter, a Christian Jewish apostle, teaches. Show proper respect to everyone. Now, the question we must ask this morning is why? Why should I respect everyone that across the boundaries that divide people today? Well, we know now, of course, what the centurion didn't know and understand in valuing highly his slave. Peter is absolutely clear about this, and we remembered it this morning. He keeps reminding these early Christian readers and us that people's value, my friends, is measured by the cross of Christ, the supreme evidence of God's amazing and costly love and grace. Listen, if you have any doubt about the respect and value that is owed to every single human life, then listen to what Jesus was prepared to go through and endure to save and rescue us and them from our sinful rebellion against God. Chapter 1, verse 18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ." Chapter 2 and verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." And so on, other references there that one could turn to in 1 Peter. The guarantee of the value, my friends, of each person that you send that message to or gossip about on one of the social media platforms, the value of each person you work with, each person across all the social, racial boundaries you encounter, is that Jesus went through all that for them. Each one of them could potentially cry out with the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." Each one across every boundary, each one, whatever colour, class, whatever distinction you want to make, we are to respect because the Son of God loved them and potentially gave himself for them. Muretus, lived in the Middle Ages, and he was a very great scholar, but very poor. And he, as he travelled around teaching in his poor clothes, this clever man, he was one day taken ill and was taken to the place where the destitute are kept. And the doctors discussed his case in Latin. "This poor creature is of no value to anyone. It's pointless spending time and effort on someone so worthless. It's best to just let him die." Muretus, of course, who knew their Latin, and to their absolute shock, turned to them and said in the famous words, "Call no one worthless for whom Christ died." Yeah. That's the basis on which you and I are called to show respect in an age and culture where respect is at a low premium. Call no one worthless, whatever their condition, whatever their state, whatever their colour, whatever. Call no one worthless for whom Christ died. Now, my friends, this might be a word for somebody here this morning. You need to know that. You are valued in the sight of God to the extent that Christ died for you. But, my friends, the difference that it will make to us in the way we treat people is the matter that we need many of us to be thinking about. How we treat people this coming week will be on the basis of what Christ did for them potentially and for us. Then look, turning to this tricky theme of respect and tolerance. One of the loudest voices, I guess, currently in our society is the clarion call for tolerance. It's claimed, of course, to be one of the marks of central virtues in a civilized liberal democracy. And maybe you're puzzled by this in the light of our theme of respect. Does obeying the challenge of Peter to respect everyone mean that I must tolerate any point of view, any behavior, any attitude? Does respect mean live and let live? Be tolerant? Well, clearly not, because Peter, alongside the summons to respect everyone, states very robustly that actually, as Christian believers, we are foreigners and exiles. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are, he says, to abstain from sinful desires and live good lives among unbelievers. Well, look, it may help, I hope it will help just to tease out this theme of tolerance a bit, to help us understand this link between respect and tolerance and the seeming dilemma. First of all, there is what we might call legal tolerance, tolerance which ensures that the rights of minorities are safeguarded and protected in law. And as Christian people, we would support that. We would support the fact that people, the minority, should have their rights protected in law, and that should be honoured. Submit for the Lord's sake to every human authority, Peter says here, for those who punish, for the authorities who punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. There's stability and fairness in that kind of society. And we actually, as Christian people, owe a great deal to that legal tolerance. We are able to meet here, as many Christian communities around the town and around the land. We meet because of that legal tolerance. We are allowed to meet and worship and pray and proclaim and preach. There is legal tolerance, and we support that. There's what I might call social tolerance, a willingness out of respect to at least listen to others, to listen without interrupting and to try and understand and engage with other people's point of view. Surely Peter had this in mind when he urged those early Christians to show respect for everyone. We followers of Jesus, my friend, shouldn't be known as bigots who won't even listen to the other person's position, or who rudely and ignorantly caricature. I've heard Christians do this. Caricature other people's beliefs and opinions. I'm always struck by Paul's knowledge and understanding of Greek thinking when he's at Athens. He understood their culture, their poetry, their thinking. He'd done his homework. He'd listened. He'd engaged with Greek culture. And there is a social tolerance where, as Christians, we are to be open to sit down with someone and to listen, to try and understand with respect where the other is coming from. But then there's what I call intellectual tolerance, the view that everybody's belief, values, lifestyles, and opinions are equally valid. It's a very trendy view in our culture and society. There are no absolutes. Whatever is right for you is okay by me. Be tolerant about whatever is right and true for everyone else, as you expect them to be tolerant about your world view, your lifestyle, your values. Let it all hang out. Let's all be tolerant of one another. But my friends, we have to say we can't sign up to this intellectual tolerance and inclusiveness. Peter's letter speaks powerfully to us at this point, because having called his readers to respect everyone, he goes on to say, there are times when we must stand up for truth, with a capital T, when we must say to others, in the light of God's revealed truth, you are wrong. You are wrong. And we must do this with respect. In chapter 3 and verse 15, always be prepared, he says, to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Engage with people. But he says, do this with gentleness and respect, not with bigotry and pomposity and arrogance. We are to engage with people firmly, confidently, bravely, but we are to do it with respect and gentleness as we engage with those from whom we must say, look, I cannot accept where you're coming from. A little earlier in chapter 2, Peter speaks about how precious the Lord Jesus is to we Christians. But he then points out that many are offended by Jesus. They stumble because of him, because they disobey the message. Well, nothing very tolerant about that, is there? They disobey the message. Well, we have to be courageous enough to say that many in their thinking, in their intellectual understanding, disobey what God has revealed and offered as the good news in Jesus. But we are to do it with gentleness and respect. It is possible to stand your ground, my friends, without being belligerent and arrogant and bigoted. And we are to stand with Jesus. And sometimes you will suffer as a Christian. In chapter 2, he says here, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed when you are abused or ridiculed because of your commitment to Jesus and you say, here I stand. But do it with gentleness. Let Jesus be your example. Verse 23 of chapter 2, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate and he made no threats. My friends, respect and the value of people. That's how we are to go out this week and value people across every boundary. We are to see them as those for whom Christ died, and we are to respect everyone on that basis. Respect and tolerance. We are to be grateful for legal tolerance, and we are to practice social tolerance. But we must stand our ground, but with gentleness and with a sense of honour, to say to people, here we stand. This is the truth. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come and thank you for your word that speaks to us over the years. Thank you that this written word becomes the living word for us. And thank you that this ancient word becomes so relevant to our own times and our own culture. Lord, will you help us in this matter, which appears from the statistics to be such a timely issue in our day. Lord, may we as Christian people respond to this theme of respect with a godly, Christ-like, holy way, that we may honour Christ and bring blessing to all with whom we engage in this coming week, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.